Thank you, brother. Thank you very much. And I thank you for the privilege of being here this morning. This is, I think, the third time that I've preached in College Chapel here, and hear nothing but great things about this place, and always a great spirit here, and I'm thankful for that, and appreciate Brother Bill so very much, his friendship. In fact, we were scheduled to have a tour group with us in November on a Sunday evening, and we're excited about that. Our people love to have folks come from Ambassador, and we're thrilled to be here this morning. Thank you for having me, Brother Bill. Let's take our Bibles this morning and turn to the book of Joshua, chapter number 24. Joshua chapter 24. I've not been back since you remodeled the auditorium here, but it looks great. And sound is wonderful. I appreciate that. And a lot goes into making that happen, that's for sure. Joshua chapter 24. And if I would ask you to please stand for the reading of our text. I'd like to read several verses in the chapter. I'll not read all of the verses, even though I know we have till lunchtime. But anyway, I want to get right into the heart of the message this morning, and so we'll skip around a little bit. Joshua chapter 24, beginning with verse number 1. And Joshua gathered all the tribes of Israel to Shechem, and called for the elders of Israel, and for their heads, and for their judges, and for their officers. And they presented themselves before God, and Joshua said unto all the people, Thus saith the Lord God of Israel. So he's brought the people together. He's got something very important that he wants to discuss. And remember, we'll possibly read the latter part of the chapter, you'll find that this is happening just before Joshua dies at 110 years old. I don't know about you, but when I get around older men, I like to listen to what they have to say. I had the privilege of growing up pretty close to all my grandparents, and I got to see them every weekend. And, of course, my wife did not. She grew up in Japan, away from all of her relatives. But growing up and being able to spend a lot of time with your grandparents, you often get to learn some things a lot of people miss out on. I've always enjoyed being around older people, and especially when they get to the end of their life. There's usually some things that they want to impart to you and hand off to you that are very important. And I believe that's what Josh was doing at this point. He's brought them together. He says, I've got some things I want to share with you. And he goes through the chronicles of the history which God has dealt with them and promised them and brought them through. And then we pick up in verse number 14. Now, therefore, fear the Lord and serve Him in sincerity and in truth. And put away the gods which your fathers served on the other side of the flood and in Egypt, and serve ye the Lord. And if it seem evil unto you to serve the Lord, choose you this day whom you will serve, whether the gods which your fathers served that were on the other side of the flood, or the gods of the Amorites in whose land you dwell. But as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. And the people answered and said, God forbid that we should forsake the Lord to serve other gods. For the Lord our God, He it is that brought us up and our fathers out of the land of Egypt from the house of bondage, and which did those great signs in our sight, and preserved us in all the way wherein we went, and among all the people through whom we passed. And the Lord drave out from before us all the people, even the Amorites, which dwelt in the land. Therefore will we also serve the Lord, for He is our God. And Joshua said to the people, Ye cannot serve the Lord, for He is a holy God. He is a jealous God. He will not forgive your transgressions nor your sins. If you forsake the Lord and serve strange gods, then He will turn and do you hurt and consume you. After that He hath done you good. And the people said unto Joshua, Nay, but we will serve the Lord. And Joshua said unto the people, Ye are witnesses against yourselves that ye have chosen you the Lord to serve Him. And they said, We are witnesses. Now therefore put away, said he, the strange gods which are among you, and incline your heart unto the Lord God of Israel. And the people said unto Joshua, The Lord our God will we serve, and His voice will we obey. So Joshua made a covenant with the people that day, and set them a statute and an ordinance in Shechem. And Joshua wrote these words in the book of the law of God, and took a great stone, and set it up there under an oak that was by the sanctuary of the Lord. And Joshua said unto all the people, Behold, this stone shall be a witness unto us. where it hath heard all the words of the Lord which he spake unto us. It shall therefore be a witness unto you, lest ye deny your God. And Joshua let the people depart, every man into his inheritance. And it came to pass after these things that Joshua, the son of Nun, the servant of the Lord, died, being 110 years old. Let's pray. Father, thank you for this wonderful place. No doubt a place that you have raised up for such a time as this. Thank you for Brother Bill, the staff, and the students. And I pray, dear Lord, as I have sought your face before, about being a blessing to those here today, and I pray that you'd help me to do so. Lord, I pray that you would be uplifted. I pray that you'd be glorified by all that we say, all that we do, the thoughts that we think. Dear Lord, help us this morning. We need a touch from heaven. And there are students in this gathering that have some needs, Lord, that only you can provide. And I pray, dear Lord, for that. Help us, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. Thank you. The story is told of President Reagan when he was a young boy. The story is told that a relative of his took him to a cobbler to have some shoes made for him. And the cobbler asked the young boy, said, "Would you like to have square-toed shoes or rounded toes?" And he hemmed and hawed around and didn't answer the cobbler. So the cobbler said to him, he says, "Would you just come back in a day or so and let me know?" Well, he didn't do that. So the cobbler happened to see him on the street and asked young Reagan there, he said, "Have you made up your mind what you would like?" And he said, "No." So the cobbler said, "Well, just come see me in a couple of days." And President Reagan said that when he got those shoes, he was shocked at what he saw. He said one had a square toe, one had a rounded toe. He said, "I learned that day that if I did not make my own choices, somebody else would make them for me." And I can look around this morning, and I believe this morning you'd agree that there are times that we didn't make the right choices. And there are times when we chose thinking, "I'll not make a choice now," but really that was a choice. And it didn't work out so well for us. I believe life is about choices. You made a choice to come to Ambassador Baptist College. By the way, I think it's the greatest choice you could have made. I think it's a great place. It's a great place to train to serve God, and great avenues that will help launch you into doing something great for God. But that was a choice. There's a choice whether or not you're going to finish. There's a choice for what you're going to do. There's always choices every day of your life. And we're making choices. And Joshua brings the people together in this passage of Scripture right at the end of his life. And he wants to remind the children of Israel some things. He wants to go through some of the history. Oh, I think it's good for us to go back and look at our history. I think it's good to study Baptist history. I think it's good to study American history. I think it's good to study church history. I think we ought to know where we've come from, why the walls of separation were built, why people did certain things, and what victories we have experienced and what it took for those victories to happen. I think it's great to go back and look at history. But Joshua brings the people together and he reminds them, you know, there was a day you had some problems. You had a problem. There was no descendants of Abraham. There was no land of your own. You were in bondage. You had no freedom. There was a time when you had no defense over your enemies. He brings the people together. He says, "You've got these problems. Do you remember that? Do you remember the problems that you had? But hey, do you remember when God provided for all that? Do you remember how God kept His promise with Abraham and Isaac was born? Do you remember when there was no land, but God gave you the promised land? He gave you Canaan. Do you remember when you were in bondage, but yet He raised up Moses and delivered you? Do you remember when you were against the enemies and God gave you victory? Do you remember when Pharaoh's army was behind you and the Red Sea was in front of you? Do you remember when it seemed like there was no open door for you? Do you remember how God provided?" Have you this morning know what it's like to be where it seems like there's no possible way to go forward? It seems like the enemy's behind you and there's a wall in front of you. But don't forget, there's a great God in you that'll provide. And there's been many times a pastor and staff member over the last 20 years that that I felt like the enemy was behind me and there was a wall in front of me, and what am I going to do now? And I tell you this morning, for the last 20 years or so, the God that's in me has always worked it out. And Joshua wanted the people to remember their problems so that they could recognize the provisions of God. Why? Because God's awesome. By the way, I think that term ought to be used for God. Today, so many people think, well, that's awesome, that's awesome. No, God is awesome. We use some words that probably only belong to God. And we've got a God this morning that is very much an awesome God, who is able to do things that you and I can't even imagine. He can open doors and places and opportunities for you that you would have never, ever in your wildest imagination ever dreamed would happen. I spoke to my mother last evening. I try to call her now and then since I don't live near her. My mother's a widow. And I was telling her about coming here today. I said, well, that's something, that God would give me an opportunity to come to Ambassador Baptist College and preach. What a great opportunity. 23 years ago when I went to college, I'd have never dreamed of that happening. But I'm thankful for a mighty God who's given me so many opportunities to serve Him. By the way, if I could go back and do it all over again, if I go back 24 years ago and surrender to the ministry as a high school graduate, I'd do it all over again. I can say that after 24 years, I have no regrets of surrendering to God. But I know a lot of people have made some wrong choices that have a lot of regrets. I say this morning, we need to remember our past. We've all had some problems. If you've not encountered any major problems, well, we all had one great problem. It was sin, held us in bondage. And thank God for the greatest provision of all, the Lord Jesus Christ, who made a provision for all. By the way, everybody in the world could potentially be saved if they would accept the gift of salvation. God died for all, by the way. And then we come to verse number 14 of our text, and I want us to look at some things. I see in verse 14 and 15 there's a charge given. Now therefore fear the Lord and serve Him in sincerity and truth, and put away the gods which your fathers served on the other side of the flood and in Egypt, and serve ye the Lord. He's making a charge to them. He says, you know, the Lord's done all these things for you. At least we ought to do is serve Him. I mean, if somebody's been as good to you as God's been to us, that ought to be the very least thing we do is say, Lord, I'll serve you. I'll do whatever you want me to do. You've done for me more than anybody's ever done for me. You love me more than anybody loves me. But by the way, serving God is not a loafer's paradise either. I think some people get that idea. I remember, praise God, all but one hire has been a great hire for us in the last 9 years. But I remember hiring this young couple, and they came, and of course we require that the staff there at 7:45 and in the morning, and his first week he shows up by 8:30. I said, brother, we start at 7:45. The next day he shows up at 8:15. I said, now I'll tell you something, this is not going to work. I said, you're going to have to be here on time. So he did for a couple of days, and then the next week he shows up and he's by 8:30 getting there. I said to him, I called him in the office, I said, this is not going to work. I said, if you worked at IBM, they'd fired you. I said, in fact, I don't think McDonald's would put up with this. And you know what he said to me? He said, I didn't think the ministry would be like this. But I don't know what you thought it was going to be like, but to me, there's something called character that's obviously missing in your life. Whether you're working at McDonald's or you're working for the master, I'm going to tell you something. That character is required. Good character. And making right choices. And we ought to serve God. And by the way, sometimes it's not easy, but I'm going to tell you something. No matter what you do in life, it's not easy. I tell people that just because you're a Christian does not mean you'll not have trials. The difference between me having trials and the lost having trials is I have somebody to help me through them. I've got somebody to help me understand the big picture of it all. I've got somebody that will help me understand what I need to do and help me along the way. But you know, Elijah, he gave a similar invitation about serving God. He said in 1 Kings chapter 18, verse 21, and Elijah came unto all the people and said, how long halt ye between two opinions? If the Lord be God, follow Him. But if Baal, then follow him. And the people answered him not a word. So Joshua, he lays out the charge before him and says, will you serve God? Now I know I'm speaking to people who've probably made that choice. That's why you're here. You want to serve God, so God calls you. And with God's calling, also I believe called, it means there needs to be some training and some equipping for the work of the ministry. And so you've answered the call, but you and I constantly are hearing God's charges. And God's constantly charging us to do this or do that. And Joshua's pulled the people aside and he's charged them. And he really what he's done is he's called them to make a decision. And by the way, every time you hear a message preached from this pulpit or a lesson taught behind some lectern, every message demands a decision. Spurgeon or Moody, one of the two, if not both, said after hearing two or three Bible messages, if you're not on the altar, something is wrong. And I believe that. I believe we ought to visit the altar often. I believe we ought to make decisions. By the way, every message that's preached ought to be preached for decisions. There ought to be a reason why you're preaching that message. Why? You're trying to get somebody to do something towards Him. And Joshua's called him to do the same. And Joshua's choice is clear. He's not a pretender. His choice, hey listen, his choice reflected his convictions. He was not an echo of somebody else. This was really Joshua. We have a lot of echoes today. They're just repeating what they've heard. I don't say to you, you and I need to have our own convictions. I heard a man say when I was a college student, he said, now some of you need to borrow my convictions till you get your own. Because some of you don't have many convictions. And I thought, well, that's good advice. Maybe I should borrow his convictions until I can arrive at some of my own. Because, listen, some of the convictions that I have today did take years to develop. But Joshua's choice was to encourage the Israelites. And let's read on, verse number 15. And if it seem evil unto you to serve the Lord, choose you this day whom you will serve, whether the gods which your fathers served that were on the other side of the flood, or the gods of the Amorites in whose land you dwell. And here's the most famous statement in the book of Joshua. But as for me and my house, notice the pronoun next. We. We. That personal pronoun says we will serve the Lord. Don't you like his positive peer pressure? He says, hey, we will serve the Lord. We will. Not I, but we will serve the Lord. You know what Ambassador Baptist College students need to decide? We will serve the Lord. We will make a difference. We will impact our generation. We will go out of here and we will do something for the cause of Christ. We will make a difference where God plants us. We will bloom where we're planted. And we will make a difference. The people of Ambassador Baptist College that work here on staff have given their lives to invest in you, pulled you aside in some ways like Joshua's pulled them aside and says, look, we want to pass some things on to you. We want you to listen to what God's done in the past. We want you to see that God can be trusted in the present and you can rest in the future promises of God, but we can make a difference. And so just like Joshua, you got the staff here at this college that say, hey, I'm charging you. By the way, when you receive that degree at the end of your term here, that's a charge. It's a charge to go out of here, take what's been given to you and invested in you and do something for God. We. I love that. We. By the way, we need positive peer pressure. That's one thing I like about our Christian school. If you decide you're going to go to the left, you're going to go by yourself. There's a positive peer pressure in our school. We don't have a very large school, but we've got a great school. And almost everybody preaches in our chapel says, well, this is different than most where we go. Your kids are attentive. They respond. Oh, it's a great place. It's a great spirit. It's a great spirit here. I've never been here where it wasn't. And that's the kind of place where I believe God raises up choice servants so that we can make a difference. So we see the charge. Look at verse 16, if you would, please. And the people answered and said, God forbid that we should forsake the Lord and to serve other gods. For the Lord our God, He it is that brought us up and our fathers out of the land of Egypt from the house of bondage, which did those great signs in our sight and preserved us in all the way wherein we went and among all the people through whom we passed. And the Lord drave out from before us all the people, even the Amorites which dwelt in the land. Therefore will we also serve the Lord, for He is our God. And so here, the consensus is this. You got the charge, you have this consensus, and there's a strong commitment there, it seems. It seems like there's a commitment to serve God. They're insisting that they will serve Jehovah and no other. By the way, Joshua makes it clear there's no one else to serve but God. And he's trying to get that across to him, and he's making the charge, and he takes us the consensus, and the consensus comes back and says, we know we will serve him. We'll serve God. Sure, Joshua, I hear your plea, and we'll serve God. And that's like many of you have said. I mean, sure, Brother Bill, sure, Dr. Scoble, we'll serve God. And then something unusual happens here in the conversation. Look at verse number 19. I think it's very interesting what happens next. And Joshua said to the people, now catch this. You cannot serve the Lord. What do you mean? You cannot serve. You made a charge to us. You've been rallying us up to do something for God. Now you're telling me we cannot serve God? I don't understand this. What do you mean we cannot serve God? That's why we're here, Joshua. That's why we're here at Ambassador, because we want to serve God. And you're telling me we can't? Well, read on. We get the answer. For He is a holy God. He is a jealous God. He will not forgive your transgressions nor your sins. Verse 20. If you forsake the Lord and serve strange gods, then He will turn and do you hurt and consume you after that He have done you good. Has God ever done anything good for you? Don't turn around and go away from Him. It won't be a good thing after God has done you good to turn away and go wrong and not serve Him only. What Joshua is saying, he says, you cannot serve God if you're going to serve a multiple amount of gods. You know, my wife grew up in Japan. My in-laws were there over 30 years in Japan. And one of the things that happens sometimes is once a person recognizes who really Jesus is, they often think they can just add Jesus to their idol shelf. And Jesus just becomes another God, along with the many gods that they have. God's not happy with that. We just had our missions conference, and one of our missionaries was talking to us. He's going to Mexico City. And basically the same thing happens there. They just add Jesus as another God. It also happens in lots of countries. But I don't think so. I believe it's happening in America. Jesus just becomes another God. And what Joshua's saying is there cannot be a plurality of gods. There has to be one and only God. We have an omnipotent, omniscient God. We have a God that's all-knowing and all-powerful. He's the only one and true God. That's the one we're supposed to serve. He said, if you're going to try to serve multiple gods, it's not going to work, because you'll never serve the God until you serve only God. And so he basically contest their decision. He's nearly asking a question. You know, Jesus asked a lot of questions. You think Jesus asked questions because He did not know the answer? I believe Jesus asked questions certainly knowing the answer. But Jesus asked questions to help us see some things. Help us see what's true and what's right about ourselves. And I believe here this contesting, Joshua is contesting to see, help these people see where they're at spiritually. You know, serving God is fine and easy when all the circumstances are favorable. But what if it's not favorable? What if there's a little opposition? It's amazing to me that a lot of times people set out to serve God, but if it's not just right, the setting's not just right, or it's in a place of comfort, or it's the right location, or it's the right position. What if it's not any of that? I remember when I got out of college, I certainly did not start doing what I was thinking I should be doing. I went to school to be a pastor. And I ended up teaching in a Christian school for 9 years and being a staff member for 9 years before pastoring. It's amazing how God had some preparation for me. I remember as a college student talking to a pastor who's now been a pastor at the same church for now 50 years plus. And I remember the college student visiting his church one time, and he said to me, he said, I think you should work for somebody. And he said, for a certain length of time, certain number of years. And I thought to myself, well, I don't know about that. In fact, he said 5 years. He said, I think it'd be good if you could work for somebody for 5 years. Now, I understand God's sovereignty settles it all. But he was a prophet. I not only needed 5 years, I ended up having 10 years underneath somebody before pastoring. And I'll tell you something, that's one of the greatest things that ever happened. That preparation time was unbelievable in helping me and equipping me for assuming the pastorate 9 years ago. God knew what He's doing. There's going to be some contesting. Number next, let's look at verse 21. Verse number 21. And the people said unto Joshua, nay, but we will serve the Lord. Now I like that. He's contested their decision and they come back and said, okay, now that we see a real picture of ourselves, we're still with you, Joshua. We agree. You said that God's a holy God. He's a jealous God. By the way, let me say this. God is a holy God. It's amazing what's happening today as people try to bring God down to their level rather than to reach up to God's level of holiness. By the way, when a person has the wrong view of God, their worship will be wrong. Their service will be wrong. Let me tell you why we have all this contemporary worship today, Brother Bill, is because they don't have a proper view of God. If they really would see God for who God really is, that God's a holy God, a lot of this contemporary stuff, just about all of it, would be gone. Because rather than approaching God arrogantly, if they're even trying to approach Him, they'd be approaching God humbly. How do you view God? And that's really another thing that Joshua was trying to get them to see, is don't forget that God's a holy God. He's a jealous God. And after the contesting, we see the complying of the people. Verse 22, and Joshua said to the people, ye are witnesses against yourselves that ye have chosen you, the Lord, to serve Him. And they said, we are witnesses. Now therefore put away, said he, the strange gods which are among you, and incline your heart unto the Lord God of Israel. I love this. They're complying. And Joshua now believes their decision to serve the Lord. And the words of the people attest to their commitment. They've settled on what God wants them to do. By the way, that's a great place to be. Settle on what God wants you to do. What is it that God wants me to do? And by the way, I believe God has a greater desire to show you His will than you want it. And I believe if you and I sincerely want the will of God to be done in our lives, and we're open to it and willing to do whatever it is, I believe God will show us. Why would God show somebody who's not willing? But God will show someone who's willing. Lord, I'll do whatever you want me to do. I'll go wherever you want me to go. I'll be whatever you want me to be. And I believe when that happens, I believe God will show you. And I believe that's where these people finally, they got to. Is they got to the place they were complying. And then let's look at verse 24. And the people said unto Joshua, the Lord our God will we serve, and His voice will we obey. And Joshua made a covenant with the people that day, and set a statute and an ordinance in Shechem. And Joshua wrote these words in the book of the law of God, and took a great stone, and set it up there under an oak that was by the sanctuary of the Lord. And Joshua said unto all the people, behold, this stone shall be a witness unto us, for he hath heard all the words of the Lord, which he spake unto us. It shall be therefore a witness unto you, lest you deny your God. Here they've made a choice. There was a charge, there was a contesting of it, there was a consensus, there was a complying, but then we see there's a choice. You've got a choice to make today. Some of you are making choices today. Some of you are in a crossroads right now. Some of you, it's early in the semester and you've run up against a wall and you're not even sure you're going to finish the semester. Or you're not even sure if you can finish out financially. Some of you are getting closer to the end. Boy, you see the end in sight. And there's other battles raging. But I want to say to you that don't forget about the choice you made to serve God. Don't forget about the choice that you made to come here. God led you to come here. Well, I don't know, preacher. I had a young lady that she made some great choices and she was just fired up for the Lord. And when she got around some carnal relatives during a time where we were out of school, and boy, she started to question all those decisions she made. She had already said, well, I know the Lord wants me in the ministry, and I know the Lord wants me to go to Christian college. And she got out of school for a few weeks and was around some relatives that were far from God. And boy, she began to make all kinds of excuses for those decisions she had made. It came down to this. She said, well, I think I just made a bunch of emotional decisions. No, she didn't make emotional decisions. She made decisions that God wanted her to make. But when she got around the wrong people, she started drifting from God. Thankfully, praying for the young lady, getting back in school, getting around the right things, she says, no, I know God really was dealing with me. I know I'm supposed to. And she's a senior in our high school. She knows that she's supposed to go into ministry. She knows that she's supposed to go to a Christian college. She knows that. It's amazing that we often doubt in the night what God showed us in the light. And by the way, I'd like to tell you that there'll come a day that won't happen, but I can promise you that everybody here, to the oldest staff member, to the youngest student, will come to situations in life where you begin to wonder, did I make the right choice? No, if you made that choice in the light of God's presence and His Word, then you need to stay with it. And here the people are reminded about the choice, and Joshua says, you know, there's been a covenant made. It's in writing. By the way, that's a good thing. Write it down. Write down some of these decisions you make. Take one of these blank sheets of paper in your Bible and write down decisions that you make in chapel or in a classroom or back in your home church or wherever you're at. Write them down. And may they be more than just a reminder of a decision, but a covenant you made with God. A commitment that you made. And so Joshua, he says, there's a binding agreement here. There's a covenant that you've made. By the way, if you make a promise, you ought to keep it. You make a vow, you ought to keep it. And here they have come together and Joshua does something. He says, you see, in verse 26, he took a great stone and he set it up there under an oak tree. It was over by the sanctuary of the Lord. I can just see, Joshua, there's a big stone there. Now, obviously, I can't bring in a big stone today. That's impossible. But he says, take it. You see that stone over there under the oak by the sanctuary of the Lord? He said, that stone needs to represent something. It needs to be a reminder to you about the choices you've made for God. That covenant, that commitment that you made for God, you need to remember that and don't go back on it. Don't quit on God. Got too many people quitting today. The devil has too many trophies already. And so Joshua says, he said, I want you to see that stone over there. Look at verse number 27. And Joshua said to all the people, behold, this stone shall be a witness unto us. For it hath heard all the words of the Lord, which He spake unto us. And it shall be, therefore, a witness unto you, lest you deny your God. You know, God can make the rock speak. One day, if God chooses, He can make the rock speak. But He said, the rock, that stone hath heard all your words, people. That's interesting. I think it'd be a great study, Brother Bill. But in But in reference to the stone, he says, look, that stone, don't forget about the goodness of God. Don't forget about those times you had problems and God provided. Don't forget about those decisions that you made. Don't go back on them. He said, remember. And just in case you forget, there's a stone over there. And every time you pass by that stone, how would you think about it? Every time you pass by that stone, hey, think about the day God called you to preach. Every time you see that stone, think about the day that God called you to the ministry. Or He called you to serve Him with your life. Remember that day that you gave up those things to go His direction. And remember those things. Remember that college chapel where God stirred your heart and you made a decision? That youth camp, you made a decision. Or that youth conference, you made a decision. That missions conference, you made a decision. You got it nailed down when God wanted you to do something. And God was dealing with your heart. And it wasn't some just emotional experience, but it was truly the working of God's Spirit in your heart. And you remember that. And God was moving in your heart. And the Spirit of God was just convicting you and affirming some things in your life. And you got it settled. And then all of a sudden, the devil comes along. Oh, maybe that's an emotional decision. Or, No, don't doubt in the night what God gave him the light. Remember! Remember! And so, the stone of remembrance, it was a witness of the proceedings. The stone would verify the commitments so the Israelites could not deny it. They could not deny what God had done. Nobody could. By the way, you can't deny what God's done here. You can't deny that God's worked in a mighty way. You can't deny that God has orchestrated your life to bring you here. You cannot deny that God has been at work in your life, your entire life, to bring you to this day. And I want to tell you, the problem is when you and I don't fulfill the commitments we've made with God, we'll spend the rest of our life wondering what God would have done had we stayed in the race. I remember being a college student, and I thought many times about quitting and going home. I said, man, I wasn't equipped for this. I didn't have the background for this. I didn't have the education to prepare me to even be a college student. I mean, it was one thing after another. I was working all the time. I was working third shift. I was working during the day. I mean, I was physically sick. I remember pulling on the side of the road and just getting sick from being so tired. I thought often, man, I'll just go back home. But there was something that consumed my thought process. What would God have done with my life if I would not have quit? I'm going to tell you something. I think there will always be low times in life where you want to just give up. But I pray that by His grace that you and I never quit. Because I want to see what God could do with the rest of my life. I'm 42 years old. I hope that I've got several more years. I hope. I'd like to think that I was entering into prime time for ministry. I'd like to think that. I don't know. I do know this. I want to serve Him. Whether I've got another day or whether I've got another year or whether I've got 20 years, I don't know, but I want to serve Him. I have one of these little stones on my desk at the church office there. My wife has one of these on the kitchen counter. And what it is just a simple little rock. It says Joshua 24. But you know, every time I see this rock, it's a reminder to me. I made some decisions for God. And I don't want to back out of them. I want to be true to Him. He's been true to me. He's been faithful to me when I wasn't faithful to Him. He's always been everything I needed. I want to remember those choices. Have you made some decisions for God? Have you made some choices that you're thankful you made? Would you raise your hand? You've made some choices. You say, preacher, I am thankful I made those decisions. Have you made some commitments to God that you are thankful for? Would you raise your hand? Can you think of them right now? Can you think of some commitments that you made to God? And you're thankful that you made them? I hope and trust that you'll take one of these rocks today. And I'm going to set them down here and you can come. Take one of these stones. Put it somewhere. Not take up much space, but it'd be a reminder to you of those choices that were made, those commitments that you made. And don't ever get past that. We've got a God that deserves for us to keep our commitments. You're in a great place. You're in a place that can equip you and help you serve God in some incredible ways. There's no telling what God could do with this student body. If you'd be like those people that came together under Joshua's gathering there, said we. Joshua said we. How about an ambassador? We, as ambassadors, will serve the Lord. Let's pray together, may we? Father, thank you for this day that you've given to us. We thank you for your love and mercy. And I ask you, Lord, to please work in every life. And may we all be reminded this morning of what we have committed to you. And I pray there'd be a fresh and new beginning in our commitments to you. Lord, help us this morning. Help these students, the staff and faculty. We thank you for them. And I ask you to do something mighty with this group of people. For it's in Christ's name. Let's stand. Our heads are bowed this morning. Invitation will be given.